Welcome to The Plants We Eat, an investigation of the history, biology, and culture of the plants that we use for food. I'm Jeff Gilman, director of the UNC Charlotte Botanical Gardens and plant history buff.
And I'm Cindy Proctor, part-time instructor at Central Piedmont Community College in Charlotte and an urban landscape enthusiast.
I like the word buff better than enthusiast.
All right, well, enthusiast works for me.
So we're going to start off this podcast just a little bit differently than we usually do. Our plant for today is the poppy. And I'm going to start off with a poem, In Flanders Fields by John McCrae. This was a poem written in the early part of World War I. In Flanders fields the poppies blow, between the crosses, row on row, that mark our place, and in the sky, the larks still bravely singing fly, scarce heard amid the guns below. We are the dead, short days ago, we lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved, and now we lie in Flanders fields. Take up our quarrel with the foe, to you from failing hands we throw, the torch be yours to hold it high, if ye break faith with us who die. We shall not sleep, though poppies grow in Flanders fields. You know, reading about the poppies was incredibly depressing. All these other plants, I read about them, and they're tremendously interesting, and I can get excited and happy. With poppies, the more I found out about them, the sadder I got. This is just an incredibly depressing plant. I don't know what you thought when you read about it.
Yes, it is, because it symbolizes something that we all know about. And when you read more details about it, you're like, wow, you know, this isn't just a flower.
Right. It covered the graves of those who passed away in World War I in the messy fields. And of course, it's also a plant that has killed many people just by itself. Mm-hmm. It is obviously where opium comes from. And that's really the story of the poppy, is the opium. This is, I should start off by saying this is an amazingly beautiful flower, and the damage that it has caused is incredible.
Yeah, I mean, it's sometimes that happens, though, the beauty, you know, behind the conflict.
Exactly. There are about 775 known species of poppies. Today we're going to be talking about the bread seed or the opium poppy. All of the poppies produce seeds that are actually edible, though again, the bread seed and opium poppy is the one that produces the seeds that we commonly eat. Also, all poppies in that group, in the bread seed and opium poppy, contain some level of narcotic, although the bread seed and opium poppy is the one that contains the most. There are species of poppy that are native to the United States, most notably the prickly poppy and the California poppy. These are grown relatively frequently. The narcotic portion of the plant is the latex. Mm-hmm. So when you hear about morphine, when you hear about heroin, these actually come from the latex of the plant rather than from the seeds. Although I'll be getting to this a little bit later, the seeds certainly can have effects. Around 3400 BC, the poppy was cultivated in Mesopotamia. The Sumatrans called it the joy plant. I mean, the effects of this plant on the human brain have been known for a very, very long time. Within the United States, the legality of these plants is really tough to pin down. It's illegal to grow them because the unripe seed pods contain an unprocessed drug, but it is legal to buy and sell the seeds. There's an Opium Poppy Control Act of 1942 that actually made it illegal to grow poppies, but pushback from California farmers caused the law to be repealed in 1970. So there was actually a specific law that made it illegal to grow, but then that had to be repealed again because California farmers, they were growing the poppy specifically for the seeds. And in fact, there is a specific type of poppy, or a specific cultivar, I should say, called the Sujata, that was bred to have no latex. So it actually has very, very little of the narcotic in it. There are many, many different types of poppies, and I mean of opium poppies out there, with various levels of the drug. It's not, you know, all just in one particular drug. Or I'm sorry, what I should say is there are a lot of different cultivars of poppies that may have different types of the narcotic. The narcotic is actually collected in a really interesting way. I think that it's be responsible of me to go into it too deeply, but it, basically all that really happens is that latex is collected, minimally processed, and then that produces your opium. Over the years, opium has been, processed in many, many different ways. Way back when, it was just basically the sap. Then you started seeing it smoked. You'd mix it with tobacco. You saw that in Asia. Then later on, you had laudanum, which was basically a combination of alcohol with opium. It's about 10% opium. This is what actually Samuel Taylor Coleridge was using when he wrote Kubla Khan, which if you've heard about the poem Kubla Khan, that comes from Samuel Taylor Coleridge's experience with opium dreams. Then later on, that poem was written some time ago, but then a little bit later on in 1803, Friedrich Sauterner isolated morphine, which is 10 times stronger than opium. Morphine is the kind of the active part, or the most active part of the morphium, of the morphine. And that's the primary narcotic that you'll see. During the Civil War, about 500,000 soldiers became addicted to morphine, which they just extracted from the opium. And then to make it stronger still, heroin it came from morphine. That happened in 1874. And heroin is just, of course, insanely dangerous and used to be used actually as a cough suppressant. I'm actually looking at a Bayer pharmaceutical ad right now. And, you know, line one, aspirin, and then, hey, if the aspirin doesn't work, next level would be your heroin because, hey, why not? I don't know. Obviously, they didn't understand exactly what they were getting into back then. 1916, we have oxycodone, which actually comes from thebaine, which is another chemical in poppy rather than morphine. Codeine is also found in poppy. There's also papaverine, noscapine. There are actually a lot of opiates out there, all having different effects. Papaverine actually treats spasms of the gastrointestinal tract. It's also a vasodilator, opens up your blood vessels. Noscapine, used as a cough suppressant. But once again, morphine is going to be the most common compound there. It actually can be used to make many, many other compounds. Just a dangerous, dangerous chemical. You've probably heard at some point or another that the seeds of poppy can be used to, or if you eat the seeds of poppy, then eating the seeds of poppy will actually give you a positive drug test for heroin. And this actually is true. Poppy seeds do contain low levels of some of these compounds, which would make you test positive. But having said that, the most interesting story that I read, the most interesting paper that I read, was one called Poppy Tea and the Baker's First Seizure. You gotta love it. You can't make this stuff up. So usually when people are dealing with poppy, it's easy enough to, most of the dangerous chemicals that we get come from Southeast Asia. That's where that's where a lot of the illegal activity is going on. Southeast Asia has illegal poppy growing in Laos and Thailand. So there are issues there. Legal growing, that's government-controlled poppy farms, are in India, Turkey, Tasmania, other places in Australia. So that's where most of your legal poppy growing is going on. There you gather the latex, and again, you process that, you get your morphine, you get other other compounds that people use. The funny thing is we really don't see that much illegal activity with growing poppies in the United States, and that's in contrast to like marijuana. I mean, a lot of people are growing marijuana illegally. Now, as marijuana is starting to become more mainstream, it's not such a big deal. But I remember just 10 years ago when they would constantly catch people growing marijuana. And when I first started looking at the poppy, I was asking myself, well, why aren't people growing poppies all over the place? You know, why isn't this kind of following the same sort of growing,
Well, I don't. I think it has more to do with the end product is more difficult.
It's not that much more difficult. Okay. So what I came to, why isn't growing the poppy following the same trend that marijuana did? Why aren't more people growing it? It's easy to get. Many, many gardeners are growing opium poppies.
So when I start talking about growing poppies, I'm going to help those
those people
who
you will find people who have been busted for poppy growing. Mm-hmm. But the issue is that it's so cheap. Growing an acre of poppies, first of all, it really stands out. You'll see all these flowers in the back of somebody's house. And it actually takes the bloom to get there because it's actually the seed pod that you would collect the latex from. But you see this acre of poppies that are easy to spot. And how much is this acre of poppies worth? It might be worth $40,000 or $50,000, which isn't actually all that much. There are a lot of other horticulture crops that you can make $40,000 or $50,000 an acre from. And this $40,000 or $50,000 is highly illegal and can get you into a tremendous amount of trouble. So what I've, from my research, what I've established, and I think what the people who are thinking of doing this probably have figured out, is that an acre of poppies just isn't worth it. It's too obvious, and it's not worth the money. At least that's what I come down to. So let me get back to poppy tea and the baker's first seizure. So how do you get, if you would like to get this stuff legally, and you'd like to get high legally, how can you do it? Well, in this paper, again, this is a scientific paper by Mark King and some co-authors, published in The Lancet, which is a well-regarded medical journal. They found this guy, or they had a case where there was this baker who every week would order 25 kilograms of poppies. That's over 50 pounds of poppy seed. So he'd order in 25 kilograms or over 50 pounds of poppy seed. But they talked to his partner, and he was only using 3. And I say they talked to his partner. The reason they talked to his partner, because he had a seizure. He was in the hospital. This is actually a case study of a baker who went to the hospital with some just major issues. So he was only using these 3 kilograms or just over 6 pounds of poppies. That left, 45 pounds or so of poppy seed unaccounted for. What was going on? What was this guy doing every week with this poppy seed? Well, it turns out what he was doing was he was actually taking these poppy seeds and making them into a tea. In fact, at the high point, he would be drinking just over half a gallon of tea every day, made from almost 9 pounds of seeds.
Did you say a half a gallon?
He would be drinking half a gallon of tea every day, made from almost 9 pounds of seeds. This pulled out a tremendous amount of morphine and the other opiates. In fact, when they measured the amount of opiates in that, they found that it would kill most people. He'd build up an incredible, he'd been doing this for years and years, and they found over time that he bought more and more poppy seed in order to get the same effect. He'd just built up an incredible tolerance to this stuff and had to make this tea out of more and more poppy seed over time.
I'm sure it was unassuming, too.
I'm sure.
Maybe.
The crazy thing is, though, since we don't know how much opiate is in any given flower, these teas can be much, much stronger than we think they are. In fact, when I was going through this, I read about poppy seed tea deaths. So if you're thinking of going out there and buying a bunch of poppy seeds and making a tea with it, and no, I'm not going to tell you exactly how to make the tea, you can pretty easily kill yourself with this stuff because you make one tea and it can be tremendously strong, and you can make the next tea and it's just not that strong at all. So that was pretty scary. I mean, reading about this, again, this plant and how people have used the opium over the years was just incredibly, incredibly sad. Reading about soldiers in the Civil War and the morphine that they had used and what they had to go through after the Civil War as they detoxed was just awful. The many days of basically detoxing, recovery. Many of them, of course, never really left and found ways to get mostly laudanum, which is that opium with alcohol. They'd recover over time with that, or they wouldn't recover. They'd spend the rest of their life drinking this laudanum in order to not even to get high, in order to not have to go through the detoxification. Very, very sad. Very, very sad plant, and yet we have this plant growing in and around the botanical gardens, and it's also a beautiful plant.
I was going to say it really is a beautiful plant, but it does have some interesting background to it. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to talk more on a cheery note.
Good. Please do, because I'm all depressed now.
Okay, so years ago, I guess I knew poppy as a child because at the grocery store, they sold the paper poppies in remembrance of Veterans Day. Mm-hmm. And I always loved that. Of course, I didn't understand what it meant. I just was getting a paper flower. Mm-hmm. And as a horticulturist living in the South, we don't entertain much poppy growing here mm-hmm. because it's not a heat lover. Mm-hmm. But my next exposure was when I went to Monet's garden in France, Giverny, and I saw the famous picture that, of course, you didn't have to go to France to see. I think we all know of it was a picture of his wife and son in a field of poppies.
Right.
And that, to me, just captures me a little bit. I pause that. It's a beautiful painting, and I don't know if it's because I liked the color red, but when you suggested we do poppies, it brought me back to that painting. So doing some of my own research, it was interesting about possibly which species of poppy that was. And it most likely was the Flanders poppy that you read the poem from. And because it is, it blooms one time. And mm-hmm. then it dies. Mm. And that's what's interesting about growing poppies is that I'm not a seed person. I don't have the patience, but this is a plant that does well from seed. And the one that I just discussed, the Flanders poppy, is probably not a great one, you know, to grow. But if you're interested in growing them just for the mere beauty of it, not from the opium aspect of it, there are several species you can grow. And I love the Iceland poppy. Are you familiar with
I'm
that
one? I'm not familiar
one?
With that. What does it look
so,
like?
It is, it's unlike one that you've seen in that it grows only about a foot tall, and it has the silver foliage, and it is grown from seed and considered probably a biennial. So you could grow it in zones that are, 3 to 7 mm-hmm. and in the fall, and it does it, or it promotes foliage, and then the next spring it's going to come back up and have foliage and beautiful flowers. But you know, in my research, I read that there's really one, the opium poppy, mm-hmm. that really has the strong concentration of right. opium. And there is some regulation throughout the country in the U.S. of restricting it. But I think in our little urban gardens, we're going to be okay. Don't you think?
I do think. You can't get enough compound from just one or two poppies to be worth doing. I mean, it's just not, it wouldn't be worth the effort.
So there are several ones, and you said, how many species did you find?
Around 775.
Okay, so I focus on the species we can really grow. And so there was a handful of those, and I'll go through them real quick. But the there is the opium poppy, and I did see that in seed packets at the store before.
And I think, do you think that's the most common right now? I mean, that's what I saw.
I don't. I think the oriental poppy is the
most
common.
Okay.
It's considered a perennial, and you can grow it in the south, more likely in the Midwest and in the north mm-hmm. because of the cooler temperatures. Mm-hmm. And it is a short-lived perennial. I mean, it'll come back. It probably only lasts 2 or 3 years. Mm-hmm. But still by seed, I think by seed is the way you ought to go.
Even, it's simple by seed.
It is simple. And just read on whether or not it's an annual, biennial, or even mm-hmm. a perennial. But again, the oriental is really the only, you know, perennial that's in common cultivation.
And buying 50 pounds of seed, just spread it all over your
That's
kid,
right. Just spread. No, you just buy a packet.
Just buy
a packet of seeds. But they are, poppy seeds are readily available in the spring, some in the fall. Try the oriental poppy, if you will. Try the Iceland poppy. There also is the corn poppy or red poppy or Flanders poppy, the one mm-hmm. I talked about that was in Monet's painting. Mm-hmm. It really, the flower only lasts a day. So that's not always, you have to have a lot of flowers, you know, like that field did, you know, to mm-hmm. enjoy its beauty. But the Iceland poppy is really beautiful. Now, the state flower of California is the California poppy, and mm-hmm. that is worth absolutely growing. In any yard around the country, you just might have to adapt its sun exposure depending on your heat load. That's the key into growing these. And again, by seed, and some of them are going to, they're even as lavender colors, orange, more yellow.
I haven't seen the lavender.
Yes, the oriental poppy will display more of those colors. There's tons of cultivars,
okay.
You know, absolutely.
And if I look at the oriental poppy, I don't have to be quite as depressed.
That's right. That's okay. Right. The oriental poppy. I mean, it does resemble the opium poppy a little bit. Mm-hmm.
I think the poppies are pretty, they're pretty obvious.
They are
distinct.
But the California poppy, a little different. Iceland poppy with that intense gray foliage, mm-hmm. definitely different. But you're right. Whether it's orange, yellow, lavender, they're all going to have a resemblance of that poppy, you
right.
know, look to it. So, so I hope that leaves us on a. On a better,
on a much, on a much more positive note.
Now, yeah. There's some of them that can be great cut flowers. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some species that are much better for cut flowers, especially the Iceland poppy.
So, will they last very long? I wouldn't think that they would have a long vase life.
You would think so, but the Iceland poppy isn't bad.
Okay,
you know, that right. it's not bad. So, would it be the dominant plant if I had a very small yard and wanted five things? No, mm-hmm. but is it something I would add to my garden where I have a room for everything? Mm-hmm. For my little small garden,
right.
Absolutely. Don't be afraid of the laws or that you have opium in it because it's. It nobody's going to care. Are they really going to care?
I don't think they're going to care, but you know something? I like the idea of the Icelandic poppy because it I like any conversation starter in the garden, and it's a good conversation starter without having some of the negatives that your bread seed or opium poppy have.
That's true. I mean, that's true. It's a great little plant, again, by seed. Which I guess I'm just not a seed person, so I just want everybody to try their first time seed growing it with poppies.
All right. I like that. This has been a production of UNC Charlotte and the UNC Charlotte Botanical Gardens. Alex Frizzell of UNC Charlotte's Isle Group helped us with the audio, and Alex Chapin was our IT guy with College of Liberal Arts and Sciences, also at UNC Charlotte. Thanks, and we look forward to talking with you next week.